This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Responsive designs for websites are all the rage. That means they look good on phones, tablets, and desktop. You want templates that work for you, great selections, and a free trial without asking for a credit card? Squarespace is the right place. Go try it out now. If you like it and hang around, I want to save you some money. 10% off your account by checking out with the checkout code MORNING. That's the code MORNING. At squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, The Blocking Dead is here.
Hey, remember when we talked about Columbus Day yesterday?
Oh, I got a great story about that. NASA says there's a big fart cloud over us right now.
Missing parrot has tales to tell.
Batman gets his own Lego spinoff.
Gotham gets all the green lights.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Horrifying, isn't it? With all peanut butter flavor, you'll always come back for more. Nothing but peanut butter taste in each bite. And it's part of a balanced breakfast. It's to die for. It's the crunch that screams peanut butter.
Aye, the fools.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream TMS for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. It's the 14... Hold on. 10-14-14.
Oh.
It'll never be 14-14-14.
No, not until we add two more months.
Yeah, that's going to have to happen.
We got a 13th one, so Smarch.
I talked to a guy who had a theory about this. He was a...
January.
He teaches at the local community college, and he thinks that one day we will have more months.
Really?
And I can't remember why his theory held up, but it was some strange combination of the Earth would start rotating slower because of some reason... And we would have extra time in the year. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. So, whatever. If it does happen, it's a flung far future that you and I do not exist in.
This will be the guy who says, you know that thing that Superman did at the end of the first movie where he spun backwards to save Lois Lane? That could totally happen.
Totally could happen. Well, I mean, she was covered in dirt and then suddenly she wasn't. Not only did time turn backwards, but the dirt went backwards. What a stupid ending to a dumb movie. First Superman was as good as you think.
Which is worse, that or the kiss that erased her memory? If you've got to break it down, if you've got to put both of them on a scale, which is the worst?
Okay, you know what? If you're going to take all the Superman powers and say what's the worst, the Christopher Reeve movies.
Well, I'm not talking about the powers.
Okay.
But those, well, if of you're going to say two? which are the dumbest powers, it's going to be the cellophane S that can imprison.
Yep.
A mute.
Yep. His
Kryptonian.
Yeah, his mute Kryptonian muter, he called it. And it was awesome because it would pull off his chest, enlarge, and then tangle them all up. It was the dumbest thing ever. But if you're talking about those two things, I think
those
I'm going to give it to...
Endings, which one was dumber?
I think I'm going to give it to the world going backwards because it breaks 1,000 physics laws.
Yeah.
Whereas the other thing... could just be, could in theory, given that he's a Superman and has superpowers, I could buy that because, you could do a lot of things to make somebody lose their memory. Now, it may not be that strategic of a thing. Like, for example, I could bonk you on the head real hard and you might forget what we're doing and where we are, right?
Sure.
But
at least if sitcoms are to be believed.
Right. But me hitting you on the head doesn't necessarily specifically erase Brian's memory of us making out or something. You know what I mean? Because that's basically what he did. He said, kiss, and then she's like, I don't remember liking Clark or knowing he was Superman at all.
Right.
That was stupid.
Well, the other benefit, the other credence that your answer gives, because you do have that is the correct answer. The spinning the world backwards is the actual correct answer.
Thank you.
Because the whole movie hinged on that solution. Whereas the kiss that erased Lois Lane's memory wasn't how he defeated the Krypton criminals in the second movie. It wasn't how he defeated the Krypton criminals. It was how he just kind of solved one little tiny problem that crept up during that whole thing.
Yep, yep. So it's stupid. Both, actually, if we want to be really truthful about the whole thing,
yeah,
we were kids, and it was better when we were kids. It's not that great now.
They don't quite hold up.
Nope. You have a special guest in your office today.
I do.
What's going on with that?
Phone back on.
Yes, April is in the Coverville booth, the booth annex, because this booth is too small for two people.
Right.
So she's in booth annex number one.
The booth exists. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I was going to hear myself.
do you not want to hear yourself?
Oh, no.
I like that you said, oh, sorry. I didn't know I could hear myself.
Well, I thought I stumbled my words for a second.
Oh yeah.
I see.
It takes a second to get used to hearing yourself.
Yeah, sure. It does.
And we all sound super dumb to ourselves.
Oh my God, yeah. I sound like a mouse that's had helium to myself.
I don't like how I sound at all. I never have. I mean, I've had people send me emails and say, I had somebody send me a naked Instagram and tell me that the reason that they sent me that is because they think my voice is so hot. And I still don't believe it.
Your and you go out in so public hot, and talk?
I have to take off all my clothes.
I know, dude. That's what they said.
I'm going to take my clothes off.
Now you're asking yourselves, no, wait, I know how that program works. How did they tell you that? Here's how it works. They sent me the photo. I've talked about this on the show before, the actual photo. They sent me the photo. I replied with text, and I went, whoa! That was all. Just the floor and text over it, okay? They sent back floor, I guess, with text over it saying, I just think your voice is so sexy on the podcasts. And that was the end of that. So I still don't buy it. I don't buy it.
So you wrote back, whoa. But you say it's whoa.
Yeah, I went, whoa.
Now that could have easily been translated as whoa.
Yeah, I know. It could have been. It's a dangerous place to go. I went, whoa. No, here's what I did. I went, whoa, Kim, get in here. You got to see this. That's how that went.
Anyway. Did you catch it in time? Did you see it?
No, it was like seconds after, but the same person did it again later. And
I was going to say, you should have just asked them to send another.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I went over there and said, Kim, here it is. And she's like, why are they sending this? I said, I don't know. And I wrote back and I said, why are you sending these? And I said, and then I sent another one that said, you know, I take these and show these to my wife as soon as you send them. And that was the last I heard from that person.
Maybe that's why they send them to you.
Maybe. Maybe they're that weird.
Maybe
it's Kim and the others in the other room playing a trick on me.
You should have replied. Testing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You should have replied back. You should have that freckle looked at.
Yeah, you should. It's not. It's misshapen and growing. So it smells like beef.
I smell like beef.
All right. So, hey, it's April. It'd be fun to have you there in the annex today.
Yes.
Glad you're around. I'm making her countrywide sweep from Boston all the way to Seattle.
Yes,
my USA invasion is going quite well.
And just as a reminder,
less of a sweep and more of a scramble.
Yeah,
sure.
I've been going like up and down, left, right, just everywhere. Like, you know what? Today I'm going to go to this city. Tomorrow I'm going to go back to that city.
Mm.
And it's just been amazing
and
fun.
And you went from experimenting on mice as your full-time job, sort of, and then now you're going to reach out and go for your goals like as an artist and do all kinds of rad things. I think it's an awesome, noble thing you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a good field. You know, I felt like I was doing good things because it was going towards medical research towards some terrible diseases.
Yeah.
And, you know, as interesting as it was, my art is just something that's always screamed out more to me than anything else in my life.
Sure,
so
sure.
I even have my sketchbook open in front of me.
She does, yeah.
So I can doodle during the show.
Well, no chat room, but she's got the sketchbook. And it's probably a better thing saying the kind of things that Irony Man is putting in the
chat.
Sure.
I'll hold it up to the camera in a minute.
It's better, by the way, it is better to have your art scream at you than dying mice in the freaking laboratory.
Oh my God, that's very true.
Right? I know.
I get live ease this time around.
Well, it'll be just fine having you here. So thanks for stopping by his weird studio. I'm sure it smells like burritos and feet, and it's not a problem.
He needs to air this thing out.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But there's no windows. It's
there is no airing of out. There's only airing of grievances. That's
it.
Okay. So hey, I got a quick note here. Yesterday, I put up some art. Speaking of art, on the store or on the site and the store at myextralife.com. It's today's comic. It is titled "The Blocking Dead," and it is a undead Lego man. And it's Halloween, and that's all I draw during Halloween for that site. So if you are interested in Lego and want to collect that thing, it's available. There's a link on the page there on the post. Just go to myextralife.com. Boom, there it is. Hang that on your wall. Do it with pride. And may we all be undead one day. There's that. Okay, so we talked about Columbus Day yesterday. You remember this,
we
Brian?
Did.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Here's something funny. I got to tell you about that.
Okay.
I have not really paid that much attention to Columbus Day. I don't really celebrate it. I don't really think about it. I'm only usually annoyed that a bank is closed during it. It's not really a thing I think about.
No mail. Oh.
No. It just doesn't come up as a thing in my life.
Sure. Sure.
And so, in fact, I have mail coming to you that couldn't go yesterday because mail wasn't going anywhere yesterday.
Right.
So it's frustrating on that level. But other than that, I'm not sitting around at home going, all right, everyone, gather round as I tell you tales of Columbus and his three ships, the Morca, the Borca, and the Dingus. And let's talk about when they came to this fine land. Yeah, I don't do this. I don't do this. In fact, my whole life, I could tell you very little about Columbus Day, except yesterday it came up because Daryl was saying in Seattle, they're trying to change it to Indigenous People's
Indigenous
Day.
Indigenous People's Day.
Or they did, and or they're whatever right. it is. And that's fine, whatever. We had a conversation about it. I think it's a little silly when people get weird about stuff like this. And we talked about comparing it to the Redskins' name and whether that should change and blah, blah, blah. Oh, the emails flowed in. But that's not even what I'm here to tell you about. And it's true. I did a little looking around, Wikipedia and stuff like that. Columbus is not all that we think he is, or at least as we were taught as children that he is.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, he's no friendly chap.
Yeah. And most of the explorers of the time were not that. They were all kind of dicks. Okay.
Exactly.
Explorers equals dicks in the 1400s. So that's all fine. And then I'm like, yeah, I can see people's point. They have a good point. So then, I mean, as if I hadn't for the first time, really, literally in my life, talked about Columbus Day in any kind of length already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm binge watching, as you know, The Sopranos. Season 4, episode 2 or 3, I forget, is all about Columbus Day. And
I
all about
forgot about that.
Yes. And all about the controversy and about how Italian Americans don't freaking love him. And everybody else hates him, and there's this huge fight. There's a big fight on the street between a bunch of Native Americans and a bunch of Italian guys, and it breaks out in violence and people hitting each other with bats and stuff. It's just like Columbus Day was forced down my throat yesterday at every turn. We couldn't avoid it on the show. I read about it later. The Sopranos episode was literally the show from top to bottom. It was about that.
That's really funny.
How was what is that?
The timing and the weird timing that you happened to watch it on Columbus Day too. Not just the fact that we were talking about it, but the fact that you ended up watching that on Columbus Day.
On Columbus Day. It's the craziest thing. I half expected a Gerard Depardieu to call me and tell me I'm being punked or something. Because he played Columbus, didn't he? Isn't that him?
Gerard Depardieu? Yeah, of course, in the Ridley Scott movie.
Did that
a little bit yesterday.
Remind me if that movie was any good. I have no memory of it.
I remember it being epic.
Okay.
In scale. I don't remember it being good nor bad.
And wasn't it a really long title? Like it was like Columbus, the year we make contact or something.
Well, it was 1492, Conquest of Paradise.
That's the one.
Yes. By the way, click the link I just gave you in Skype just read the headline. The headline says it all.
All right. Here we go. The Sopranos only ever made one bad episode and it was called Christopher Columbus. Oh, it's all Christopher Columbus's fault. Wow, so they think this is the worst episode of the series.
They do, yeah. They this is Vox.com, and this is an article they put up yesterday, coincidentally, about episode called Christopher. They say the dialogue sounds like it was written by an eighth grader assigned by his history teacher to write up Columbus's pros and cons.
Wow. It says here, the worst part isn't the politics of the episode or its inconsistent and often wrong-headed politics. It's that the dialogue sounds like it was written by an eighth grader assigned by his history teacher to write up the pros and cons, like you said. It says it is hard to believe it when it comes to it's in the same season as Whitecaps, which featured perhaps the best written martial art or marital fight in the history of television. maybe this episode is what brought that chart down for season 4 that we looked at.
Right, because that was on the graph. This was the bad season, wasn't it?
Yeah,
this was
according to the graph, again, it was still in the 8.5s. It's not like it was, by other standards, it was super high, but compared to the rest of the seasons, it was the lowest. Well, this is interesting. I feel like I've learned something today, and that is that I never want to talk about Columbus Day again. That's what I learned.
done for another several years.
Yeah,
right?
I think we're good for now.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to call Daryl now because
That's what we do.
I know. I know I say it. I know we do it every day, but I just think it's important to mention that's what we do. All right. Daryl's being rung, and I'll play his theme now because, again, that's what we do. Stump a Trek Nerd is brought to you by...
Why sit there and watch three guys eat while Daryl guesses at Trek questions? What? Check out Shades of Vengeance Kickstarter at tinyurl.com/sovkick.
Nice. And usually he picks up by now. Oh, there he is. Daryl, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello. Hi. Hello. How does it feel to be April's destination? How do you feel about that? I mean, I guess you're not the destination specifically. No. A trek across America to find one Daryl Skeel.
A trek across America to find the trek.
She flings open the door and she hears
Zert.
And it's all done. Daryl, it's good to have you back on. Stump a Trek Nerd time. You know the drill. You know how this works. You've been here before. You've done this before. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your chances today? If you just had to say what your gut says, what does your gut say?
It says I'll be lucky today.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Veronica.
What if we told you it was an audio clip?
Yeah, what if we told you that?
Then I would still say I feel lucky today.
All right. What would you say if I said Veronica laughed at you? Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird that she did that yesterday? That was a weird sound. Anyway.
It's like a Muppet Veronica.
I know.
Yeah.
Muppet V. I like it.
Tickle me, Veronica. This is the noise it makes when you...
Tickle me V. Yeah. See the commercial now. Tickle me V laughs when you tickle her. Perfect. All right. So let's do this thing. Whoop, that's a goose.
Tickle me Mendoza.
That's Mendoza.
Oh, God.
That's actually Mendoza, by the way. That's what he said.
I thought it was like a raptor or something. a little jumpy in the morning, so that didn't help.
Let's get to it, Daryl. Here's your question. It comes with a clip, and we're going to play the clip, and then you're going to decide whether you know the answer to this Star Trek trivia question, because Daryl is the Trek nerd and an expert in these things. So here you go. Here's your clip. Boom.
No.
Come on, Geordi.
No.
Just try it once. It is not as hard as you think. I'm telling you, you will be terrific.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I have information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. Now, I can't do
yes,
this.
Yes, you can.
I cannot sing in front of people.
You were terrific. You were a little off pitch, but I think I can take care of that. Okay.
All right, you know why I hate this? Let me tell you why I hate that episode. I hate all of the episodes where Beverly decides she's the runner of a play or something.
Right. All of a sudden, she's Julie McCoy from Love Boat.
Yes.
And she's going to organize everybody into a musical.
That's a great comparison. Who's Isaac in our scenario? It's probably Jory. Hey, just because he's black, what are you saying?
Of course it would be Whoopi Goldberg because she runs the bar.
Racist.
Okay.
And also because she's black.
Yeah. And she has... And she has no eyebrows. Oh, wait. What did Isaac have? He had eyebrows, didn't he? I don't know.
He did until that very sad episode where he got a little too close to the burners in the basement of the...
He still managed a very limp thumbs
the
up,
princess,
though.
The Pacific princess, yeah.
He still went... like this.
Too close to the the heating fires during the midnight buffet on the Lido deck.
Yep. Never forget. Never forget. Daryl, there's your clip. Which episode do you think that came from? Was it A, Silicon Avatar... B, Disaster, C, Identity Crisis, or D, Schisms? So that's Schisms, Ooh. Identity Crisis, Disaster, or Silicon Avatar. I did it in the reverse there. All right, while you think about it, I have no new food, guys. I have nothing.
Oh.
I have nothing. I don't even have anything beyond what you've already gotten. So
I dread this bag.
You got to keep
so
doing
far,
that bag.
So far, this bag has been nothing but problems.
Make April do it so that she...
It's true. We have a new subject.
But I'm so full for my lucky charms.
Oh.
What do you got?
You failed. That was part of our plan. What?
The Joe Massardis? What do those look like?
What's a Joe Massardi?
I don't know. He didn't even include the bag. Like, he basically just included the label.
Mm.
But if you look at the little... graphic on the label. Can you see that?
Oh, they look like joints or something.
They do look like joints, yes.
That's awesome.
That's Friday night right there.
Joe Massardi. I like it. Sounds like a first...
You're better off not. Yeah, don't smell it. If you plan on eating something, don't smell it first out of this bag.
You want to be daring to smell the entire bag? Oh. All the smells
good. Yeah, no, I did that. I did that as soon as I opened the bag the very first time.
Normally, I'd say Joe Massardi sounds like a football player or something, but instead, he sounds like one of the New York mob bosses from that damn show I've been watching.
We've got a few.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Sorry, go ahead.
These could be chocolate, they could be meat, and they're completely unlabeled. So, and I think we've got multiple.
They could be chocolate, they could be meat.
Yeah.
Well, wait, like a jerky meat?
Could be, yes. So, Daryl, do you have something in a clear plastic wrapper?
Do you have something that isn't in giant wads of paper? That's my question, because listen to him. Can you hear that? Good Lord, Daryl.
Joe Massardi? I don't have anything.
No, no, no.
Like
don't look. Don't look for Joe Massardi's.
Oh, what am I looking for?
All right, look for something that looks like a little rectangular slab of brown.
Okay, I got lots of those.
Unmarked.
One of them.
Clear plastic.
One of them looks like a goo iPhone made out of goo.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not it.
iPhone, you guys.
iPhone made.
I am really regretting that I never got this bag.
Oh, I'm you know what? Maybe April will bring this bag to you.
Oh, great.
That's great stuff.
Okay.
Great. All right. So, do you see like a little rectangular slab of brown in a clear plastic wrapper?
It sounds like this.
With no. Oh, let's hear. Yeah, I would say that the two sound about the same.
Like, yes. That sounds like that wrapper.
About, 3 inches by 1 inch?
That's pretty big. That sounds like a candy bar you're describing.
It does. Well, I mean, if you look at this, and I'm holding it up to the chat room. Yeah, I mean, it's like a, it looks like it could be a fun size Heath bar.
Or meat.
Or meat.
But it's not.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Texture-wise, this...
Oh, if you squeeze it, it's kind of gummy, sort of.
Oh, yeah. God.
Squeeze it from the camera, and then if you bend it, and then bend it back, it looks like you can bend it at all.
That's not good.
It reverts back to its original shape.
It's Wolverine candy.
Oh, God. This is, All right, so, ready?
Yeah.
I guess this is it, yeah.
Okay, I'm opening the wrapper.
This feels like a, this feels like
I'm
a seminal
You're
moment.
So brave to smell this thing.
This feels like a seminal moment to me. This is like...
Hey, that smells...
Diabetes.
It doesn't smell bad.
No, it smells almost like a good fruit cake.
Right, like a tamarind fig Newton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like a ginger snap. Sure, okay. Well, let's go in thinking that this might be a ginger snap.
All right, give it a shot.
I'm sure it won't be.
I'll lick it for Cleo.
Did you get that on camera? Oh, yeah, there we go.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I hope it goes in as easily as it'll come out of your...
Your butt.
How was it?
Hmm. It's not as bad as the last few days. It is like a little dense fruitcake.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like
our
bad Christmas memories in my mouth.
I'm not sure I would coconut. Want to receive this. Oh, yeah. Coconut is in there.
Excuse me. Coconut raisin?
Yeah.
I'm sensing notes of oak. Sugar dirt.
Sugar dirt.
Oh, well, it's not dirt like yesterday.
No.
No. Well, good. Well, it sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
At least compared to other things.
This actually isn't horrible.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad. I wouldn't go buy it, but it's good. Cool.
Hey, Derek, Brian, don't worry, because...
The dirt comes off.
The dirt comes off. All right.
There's plenty of dirt and grass stains.
Look how many dirt things I have. There's none of
those. That's a classic. There's something that was too hard to chew in there, so I'm done.
I think that was Daryl.
Found a chunk? He found a chunk.
I found a seed or a chunk or a bone. One of the three.
Ew.
All right, now I don't want anymore. I'm scared now.
A bone. Ugh. Oh, I chipped another tooth yesterday. I didn't even tell you. Speaking of sharp things in your mouth. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's too serious, but it's a whole other tooth, whole different place, whole different thing. Ugh, I hate teeth. I want to start over and not have teeth. Can we do that?
Freedom.
All right. Great.
Sure.
Daryl, back to your birthday time. Birthday time with Daryl. Who's having a birthday? Yeah.
Who has one of those?
That would be Lori Petty. She's 51 today. She played Tank Girl.
She's after Tank Girl, yeah.
Before Tank Girl?
No, after Tank Girl.
Trish.
Oh. Well, that's why I said after Tank Girl.
Wait, when was this? When was she in?
I made the joke.
I was like,
the joke you're explaining is the one I made.
I got distracted by
Dean. When was she on Star Trek? I don't remember that.
She was in Voyager in the episode Gravity.
Oh.
She played Nos.
Oh, I'm kind of having a memory of that now. Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, that's good news. Good news for her and happy birthday. How old?
51.
Oh, my gosh. She's just a child still. She's fine. Yep. Well, good. Well, she'll be with us a lot longer than that. Let's get back to your question. And your question is this. What was that episode we played that sound from? Silicon Disaster.
I like that.
I've had that before. All right. Silicon Avatar. You know, we could put any of these words. Identity Avatar, Schism Avatar. No. Silicon Avatar, Disaster, Identity Crisis, or Schisms. Which do you think it is?
Identity Crisis is the one where Geordi and somebody else mutates into this weird glowing thing and go down to the planet and act like monkeys.
Mm. I don't remember that. Really?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
They paint them with all these lines all over them, and the lines glow, so they look, I guess they're supposed to be aliens. Mutated
into
aliens.
That's not the one where Geordi only shows up on a certain kind of camera, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Oh, I hate that one.
Yeah, where like they have to like put all of the lights and rearrange the holodeck with all the lights to show where the Geordi's shadow was, yeah. So they can figure out where he was.
I love it that's when you said, but your description is boss. I hate that's not the one where Geordi can only show up on a certain kind of camera, is it? That's a great description. You should write plot summaries on the Trek
sure.
Wiki.
All right.
That's brilliant. All right. So, Daryl, what do you think?
Well, it's either that one or the one after that one. What was the last one?
Schisms.
Schisms. Schisms. Why don't I remember that one?
I don't know.
Schisms. This is a dumb name.
I agree.
Can't get this thing to turn. This would have to come out.
Schisms would be a great nickname.
I'm going to say it's C. And here I go going through all these choices again, but I don't know, so I have to.
You're going
to
say
tough luck to all you dumb bastards that don't want me to do that. I just did it.
Identity crisis is what you're saying.
I think it's only when you know the answer they don't want you to do that.
My wife just brought me the most amazing looking breakfast here.
I can see you.
Look, chat room. Look. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, honey.
So we won't see it for another 8 seconds.
All right. So here's your... Okay, so you say identity crisis. That's what you say.
I guess.
All right, fine. Let's find out if you're right. Are you right? Oh, no. That's a terrible day for all of us. Disaster is the correct answer. Skeletor wants Geordi to be in the Pirates of Penzance, but he doesn't want to. Shortly after this, the Enterprise is disabled, and it gets hit by a quantum filament. And I think that's the one where he disappears, right? I don't know. I don't know how it works. Whatever.
I don't know. Yeah.
Those are all bad episodes. Every one of those.
Is Disaster?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that the one with the kids in the elevator with Picard?
No, that one's called...
Kids in the Elevator with Picard.
Yeah. That's also called the worst episode we ever made.
That's right.
Although, it's too
we sent our writers on vacation.
Yeah. Actually, I would probably give it to the caveman where everyone becomes a primordial version of their evolutionary scale or whatever. Jeez. That's a terrible one.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
You know which one was the worst episode? Mm. Any of the ones that involved Sherlock on the holodeck.
No, there was, you know what, though? Where Moriarty gets out and he can wander around the ship, that's pretty good stuff. I think that's the sequel to that first one, though.
Uh-huh. Okay, sure.
But that one's pretty good. The first one, they're all kind of bad. But that one is okay. There's some nice ideas in that one. And they trick him into thinking, because now he's sentient, right? He's living. And they trick Moriarty into thinking he's flying off in a ship somewhere, but really he's in a hard drive. That's a cool idea. Just this idea that his reality is huge universe.
All right.
It's okay. It's all right.
Defend it all you want. Defend it all you want.
Like Moriarty in a thumb drive. It should be the name of that episode. All right.
There you go.
Daryl, good job. You blew it. What?
Sub Rosa really is the worst, though.
Remind me.
Oh, that's the one with Crusher and her dream ghosts.
Her grandma ghost and all that. Right.
And the candle and all
candle
that.
Candle ghosts.
Yeah, that was garbage. That was utter garbage. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And he likes to play games with us. And one of them is called blank.
Star Trek fruit or actual fruit?
All right, here's your theme.
What if I did? They only killed the refuse of the city. Beggars, scum.
Quite. But they met the hangman nonetheless.
Aye, the fools.
All right, there you go. Well, little thing at the end.
Like 20 minutes long, that clip.
That's pretty long.
Beat him.
All right, go for it. By the way, this Peenum I keep playing, Peenum, which is Brian, is only iTunes will only register it as a 0 second thing.
Sure.
There's no time on it.
Yeah. It's even smaller than what they would round up to a second.
Yeah. It's crazy. Here, there you go. All right. So, Daryl, so what do you got, man? Lay it out.
Rambutan fruit.
Rambutan fruit.
Rambutan fruit. Can we get a spelling on rambutan?
Exactly how it sounds.
All right. Then.
That's fun to say, isn't it?
Rambutan.
Rambutan fruit. It seems like it's fake Star Trek fruit, but I feel like he is trying to have us think that it's fake sounding because it does say,
exactly.
But it might be real fruit. And I
could, I would lean real,
I could go to Fiji and get an order of rambutan fruit. So we're going to say it's real fruit.
Fiji, huh?
Well, wherever.
Well, Malaysia.
Oh.
It's native to Malaysia, and it tastes like grapes.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
I like grapes. What's it in the shape of?
Spiky, really spiky.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is very ungrape-like. In my,
it's very alien-looking.
In my experience. Yeah. I had a really good grape this morning. You want to know about grapes? Do you want
a
to know?
Really good grape this morning?
I did. I had a great grape this morning. It was really good. It was a big fat one in the fridge. I don't know if they're in season or what's going on, but it was fan-freaking-tastic. All right, it's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by, what is Slenderman, not Slenderman, but Slenderman doing in the bayou? How will virtual reality affect our future? Check out the Tidy Tonic webcomic every Friday at tidytonic.com to find out.
Okay. I shouldn't have eaten that bacon right then.
Yeah. Stick to grapes.
Now I'm all paranoid about this tooth.
Mm.
NASA. You familiar with their work?
They are space people, right? Crazy space people.
Yeah. Houston, we have a problem.
right.
All that. They say all that stuff. They say now they can confirm there is a vast, enormous methane cloud hovering over the Southwest, and it's real.
Okay.
A cloud of
fart gas.
Fart gas. A cloud of maybe that guy was just like a Nostradamus.
He's just warning you, right? He's like, you know what's going to be over the southwestern part of the states? Yep. Fart gas. Yeah,
but he did it in a way that's like obscure, so I would have to interpret his prophecy. Mm-hmm. A cloud of methane gas over the of the size of Delaware. Why is everything always the size of Delaware? Have you noticed that?
It's like everybody compares something to the cost of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's really funny because the other night we were watching, what was the movie for Film Sec? Day After Tomorrow, and they compared the ice shelf falling off to the size of Delaware. They keep doing that.
Exactly. Delaware is a standard unit of measurement.
Yeah.
It's about five Delawares.
Yeah, how big was that that meteor that almost hit us? Oh, it was about three or four Delawares. Let's see. It was detected over the Four Corners area of the American Southwest years ago. The readings were so unusually high that NASA scientists dismissed them at the time. They thought it was false readings. A new study confirms the methane hotspot is real. Get good Wi-Fi in that methane hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't focus on it because we weren't sure if it was a true signal or an instrument error, says Christian Frankenberg, a research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena, California, in an article on the NASA's website, That would be on NASA's website. Methane gas is the most potent of the so-called greenhouse gases that trap in the Earth's heat and contribute to global climate change. Carbon dioxide, other greenhouse gases, it is far more plentiful in the atmosphere, but methane is about 80% more efficient at trapping heat than carbon dioxide is, according to an article on the Atlantic City Lab website. The idea is that it's probably bad around this part of the country. There's some theories that we have a lot more cattle and that they fart a lot. And that's literally true. Also, sure, some of the stuff we burn creates a lot of methane. But, you know, all that beef we want to eat, we got to make cows for that. And they fart.
Yes.
So,
but it's kind of crazy that it doesn't, you know, that it's basically held in place by geothermals and greenhouse gases and whatever, you know, that's basically keeping that stuff in place.
Yeah, just ready to go. You know, you'd think we'd gotten better at figuring out a way to just vacuum this stuff out and shoot it into space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we're not good at that yet. Isn't there a way to, I mean, I'm no scientist, but
we need to open a hole in the atmosphere and just suck all the bad stuff out of the, out of the air.
I mean, isn't there a way to like isolate it and just go, just hoover up all the fart and then leave the good and then put it in a can and shoot it to wherever.
Or just have like a big Febreze.
Yes.
We need a humongous...
just a giant can of Febreze.
Can of Febreze, yes.
With the logo on it and everything. That's what we need.
Oh, Beano. They need to inject Beano. Like, have a factory that kind of pumps Beano into the air.
My understanding of Beano is Beano only works if you eat it before you eat. Isn't that true?
So it's too late. Now that the methane gas is here,
yeah.
Beano prevents gas.
Yeah.
So you have that before you have a big burrito?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've been doing it wrong. Now, if you take Gas X, that's...
Wait, why are you saying oops?
Burrito for breakfast.
Is her mic off? She's not on... Is she off mic?
No, she's
over by you. Never mind. I wasn't looking at the video. Sorry.
Go back over.
No, you're fine. It just didn't... I thought, her mic's not working.
I won't be able to hear you very well.
Let's see. Yeah, don't take Beano. Take...
Beanum.
All right.
Beanum.
Beanum. Parrot has been missing for 4 years. A parrot! And it finally came home, but Brian, 4 years later, it came home speaking Spanish. A pet parrot that spoke with a British accent when it disappeared from its home 4 years ago. I didn't realize they had accents. I guess that makes sense if you're, people are teaching you to speak in a certain cadence.
Exactly. The accent of whoever's teaching it to speak, sure.
It's been reunited with its owner, and the bird now speaks Spanish. The Daily Breeze reported Sunday that the reunion was brought about by a Southern California veterinarian who mistook the African, gray parrot for his own missing bird. Teresa Miko tracked Nigel's microchip to Darren Chick. Boy, there's a lot of names. This is like season 4 of The Sopranos.
Exactly. I can't keep track of all these characters.
Little is known about
George R. R. Martin to come and kill one of them.
Exactly.
Off.
Little is known about Nigel's whereabouts the past 4 years, but Chick says the bird's British accent is gone and now speaks English. It is the fifth parrot reunion facilitated by Miko, who has been running ads for her own missing parrot for months.
Speak Spanish, Scott.
No, would I say English? Yeah, Spanish. Yeah. How did I read Spanish and say English? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was weird. It came back going. See, esta condito.
Almost did he say crumpets.
So it makes you wonder obviously it had a decent home. It must have, right? They didn't kill it or eat it or anything. Not that they would, but, that seems like a cool thing. But I would love to know the story. Like, if we got talking parrots, why can't the parrot tail the tail? Why can't it go, "Ka, I was in Costa Rica, and I live with a stripper, and we did cocaine every night. Why not that?"
I'm just wondering about the reprogramming that the new owners must have done. Like, biscuits. No. Chilaquiles. Yeah. Es chilaquiles.
That's pretty funny.
No es biscuits.
Yeah. I mean, they almost kind of had to. Or maybe this bird just picks it up. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Right.
Yeah, who knows?
Today's show brought to you by Squarespace.com. You want to make a website all about your favorite parrots? Great. I got a place for you to go. It's Squarespace.com, where you can pick from so many great templates and build websites with so much ease that you'll think you're an expert. But really, it's just great tools. Squarespace.com right now will give you a free trial. They do not require your credit card. Just hop in there, give it a shot, make a website, get a domain even. A free one comes with every account, by the way. So that's nice.
Nice.
And then if you like it, and I know you will, use the code MORNING at checkout. We'll save you 10% off your account. That's 10% off with the code MORNING at squarespace.com. I highly recommend it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Why, it's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Record Breakers. It's like a book club for music. Four friends get together, one of them brings forth an album for the others to give their honest opinions on it, and then they all recite haikus. Really? Yes, it's really what happens. Check out the fun at recordbreakerspodcast.com.
Nice. Hey, I have a mute her mic.
Okay.
I just realized, if she's standing by you,
Do you not want her to hear something?
No.
I just don't want her to say something.
Oh, will it mute her headphones too?
No.
Oh. I'm saying if she's over by you, if you mute her mic, then I won't hear you echo across the room on her mic because I can hear you in like two places.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
There we go.
Now you're all warm and fuzzy.
God, that's that old, that's that other Shure mic that is picking stuff up from across the room. That's why there was like keyboard noise and...
Oh, that's a good point. It's not your mic. It's that mic hearing you.
Yeah. Good point. Exactly. It's an oversensitive mic. It's really way too sensitive.
I know. Kicking the ass.
Exactly.
Speaking
of which,
Batman. Oh, hey, where is that teenager? Is he asleep?
The teenager is still asleep, and Tina left for work, so he's going to be late to school, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what time?
I was scared when I was late to school. I was like, sweet, I missed class.
So wait, hold on. Is he, what time's school? Like, he is late, right?
He doesn't have a first period on Tuesdays.
Oh.
So if he were to get up maybe now, he might make it. I think his first class is at 9 on Tuesdays.
Gotcha. Well,
I should bang the ceiling or something.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Batman will get a Lego movie spinoff. So turns out that was a popular part of that Lego movie there, and he's going to get his own movie. So we're going to get two Batman movies coming up. We're gonna
like
get
a specifically Batman Lego movie.
Correct. Will Arnett, already on board to be the voice. He was in the Lego movie, so he'll do it again.
Cool.
Let's see. Chris McKay, who is directing the film, said this. Roy Lee, Phil Dinn, Phil Lord, and Chris Miller will contribute to production duties. I don't know why they care about those names, but I guess that's important.
Well, those guys do work, so they should get some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Can't be all about Will Arnett.
They've got three movies planned. The Ninjago movie. That's a the kids are into it.
It's a whole
spin-off.
Separate Lego franchise thingy. Mm-hmm.
The Lego Movie 2, which is a sequel to the very successful first one. Mm-hmm. Those come out in 2016 and 2017. Plot details remain non-existent at this point, but given that Arnett's Batman stole the scene, every scene that came his way in the original movie, we can't wait to see him in his own adventure, says TotalFilm.com.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll see that. Why
I'll
not?
Watch it. Sure.
That sounds like fun. The first one was a really fun movie, so if they continue with that form of fun, then I'm all in. what's to stop Lego from making movies? I mean, like they do now with actual Legos, they make it for everything. So what's to stop them doing a Lego Star Wars movie or a Lego?
There's really
nothing.
I mean, they can, I don't know how they can do the licensing to do such wide sweeping cross platform stuff, but
they write their own ticket, Brian. They write their own ticket.
Yeah.
Gotham got picked up for a full season. They got a full season order from Fox. Can I take your order? Yeah, I'd like another 13 episodes of Gotham, please.
Can you supersize my season, please?
24 episodes. Sure, that's fine. Anything else? And a Diet Dr. Pepsi. Dr. Pepsi.
You really have been out of touch with soda for a while, haven't you?
Dude, I don't drink very much anymore. I had a Mountain Dew the other day and my arms went numb. Let me explain this real quick.
What?
When I have a huge amount of caffeine suddenly, and it was kind of a big Mountain Dew, and Mountain Dew's, you know, got more caffeine than your average, like Coke or whatever, I get this weird feeling where they don't go numb, like I can't feel them, but I get like this numb, tingly feeling from my elbow up to my tips of my fingers every time I do it. Too much caffeine. It's always happened. It's happened my whole life. When I was a kid, it would happen. So it's nothing weird. And I even asked a doctor about it, I don't know, 15 years ago. And he's like, that's just a thing that happens. Not to everyone, obviously, but it happened to me. Gotham. So Gotham's coming back. It's on the heel of its record-setting live plus 7 lift for adults. What's that even mean? 18-49. It did really well is the point.
Yeah, there you go. It did better than Saturday Night Live. How's that?
Yeah. So it's going to bring the full season to 22. It was originally picked up for 16. They're going to get 22. Are you still watching? You were going to give it 6. What are you doing here?
Still watching. And, I haven't, we're not totally caught up. So I think we're 3 episodes in. So still in, but, it's, you know, it's on the bubble.
I've heard many good things. So
yeah, it's well done. It's kind of funny that the most compelling character in there is Jada Pinkett Smith's Fish Mooney, which is a character created specifically for this. And the Catwoman, the Riddler, and the Penguin characters just don't feel as fleshed out yet.
Well, that's
or Bruce Wayne, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it did have a tied. Let's see, something called Red Band. I have not seen the show. It's another Fox show.
Oh, Red Band. Yeah, this is Glee in a Hospital.
Oh, great. It tied for biggest premiere with Gotham at 82% percentage gain over whatever the hell was on there last time. I don't get how these Nielsen things work anymore. They don't make sense to me. I do not understand them. So
what do you mean?
So F them. I don't get them. I don't understand how the Nielsen thing works. It's only going to be with people with the Nielsen box in their house, I guess.
Yeah, but they're picked to quote unquote represent everybody. So each person with a Nielsen box represents like 10,000 people without them.
That's weird.
And so you're
Doesn't
relying
that seem
on
weird to you?
It totally seems weird. It seems like I've got this cable box that knows what station I'm currently on, or this TiVo that is recording this show.
Yeah.
Why is that information not getting sent to the people who track this, as opposed to this kind of you're in the right demographic, you'll represent these 10,000 people.
Well, and we can, I think Tom knows more about this than me, but I'm pretty sure the way it works is that that data is being collected, but it's being collected by TiVo or Dish Network or somebody else who does not want to share that with somebody else. But I think we do have the data. I think you're right. Or at least
all that information.
Could.
I mean, yeah, Comcast knows what you're watching.
Right. Or if you're not watching anything, that could be.
Right.
That's important to the numbers, too. I feel like the Nielsen system is just hanging around to keep people happy in a business that's changing. It's just weird to me. That whole thing.
Do they account for streaming at all?
Nope.
I feel like that would affect it a lot.
It would.
Like Hulu and Netflix.
Well, it would affect it entirely for me, because if they looked at me, they'd think I was having some sort of strange love affair with The Sopranos right now. And it's,
I did watch too, don't worry.
Yeah, everyone does. So I mean, that's my whole point, is this doesn't account for any of that. Like, how many people tuned in for the quote-unquote premiere of House of Cards season 2, which delivered all at once and happened on one day? And what does that even mean? It just changes the landscape, and I don't feel like Nielsen's keeping up with that at all. Like, that's not even counted. Nobody knows where that landed. That could have been the biggest, most watched thing ever. 10 million people subscribed to that network. What if 6 million people watched it? That killed anything else that happened that night, and they got all 13 episodes at once. Like, is any of that accounted for? No. Nielsen. Yeah,
it does seem like a really outdated system.
Somebody go wake Uncle Nielsen up and tell him this is dumb and it needs to change.
And you would think that, like, all right, so the people who are doing well with Nielsen, like the shows that are testing well with Nielsen, probably are saying, like, no, I don't see any reason to change this. I don't see any reason to, start hitting up TiVo and Comcast and, you know, all these other cable providers for their data. But you would think the people who are, like, in second place are saying, you know, maybe we'd be in first if we got actual numbers as opposed to these fake Nielsen numbers.
I'm sure of it. To me, it's like they're weathermen. You know, they can't really tell what's going to happen, but they kind of know. It's like, well, we think it's going to rain today.
Right. We think that, a million people are watching this show. We think so.
We're pretty sure, but we're not totally sure. We don't know.
Right.
Tweakedaudio.com is, oh, yeah, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this article also mentioned Mulaney, which, Tina and I gave exactly 10 minutes to.
No good.
No good. We watched, we were thinking, all right, well, this is going to be good. Mulaney's really funny. The John Mulaney is really funny, a funny stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Nassim Pedrad on there. It's got to be good, right? It is the worst knockoff of Seinfeld. There are four of them. One of them's a schlub. One of them is really weird. John Mulaney is a stand-up comic.
Mm. Wow. They've
Nassim Pedrad has dating problems. I mean, it's like first 10 minutes, we're like, I can't watch any more of this.
They went full Seinfeld. That's weird.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that one's on the bubble. Didn't do well. So that might be why.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make it.
Is it a three-camera sitcom, like a laugh track and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if it has a laugh track.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it does. Oh, it's filmed in front of a live studio audience. So yeah, it has a laugh track.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Mulaney is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
No. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show with their amazing selection of both style and color. Earbuds you can be proud of. Put those things in your ears and listen to this show or anything else, music, whatever. I was listening to the show, before the show, I was listening to Patrick O'Hearn, a guy I've always been sort of a fan of. Back in the 90s, kind of new age period of music.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone called it new age, but it was really just cool instrumental stuff. But anyway, kind of the David Arkenstone, I can't think of anyone else, but I loved Patrick O'Hearn, and I was just listening to him, and I had him in my ears yesterday while I was trying to chill out with my sweet Tweaked Audio earbuds sticking in my ears, and it sounded amazing. Go get your own pair right now.
Clear.
That's right. Lifetime warranty, noise reduction, all that stuff available at tweakedaudio.com. If you use the code STREAM, hey, we'll save you a third the price. That's 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Fitness Geek, Jury Duty, and more. But Brian's going to regale us with music now, please.
I will. All right, this one comes to us from Matt in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Hello, go Packers.
Yeah.
Hey, Shrimp and Barbie, on or about, but mostly on the 13th of October, I shall become the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Wow.
While working two jobs, I listen to about 40 to 60 hours worth of podcasts per week. And I was hoping that you, Brian, might be able to find something I don't have the time to do. Over the last year, I've grown to love Ferrell's Happy, or Ferrell. Is it Ferrell or it's Pharrell Williams?
Right? I always hear Ferrell Williams, but I may be Williams. Hearing that because okay. My grandpa's name was Ferrell. I don't know.
Okay. I've grown to love Ferrell's Happy, and I found a couple of covers of it, but pretty much just rehashing the same arrangement as the original. I really love covers that transform the original into something new, and I was hoping that you could find such a number. As I said, I'm a podcast listener, so any time during the week of the 13th would be fine by me. Going to go old school here. Love the show, though. Matt in Wisconsin.
Nice.
Wow. Harkening back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's a version that that I've got that I think fits the description. This is a YouTube sensation, and they've released this as a single. Olivia Ty and Daniel Wolf with their acoustic cover of Happy.
Oh, I love it. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Everyone hang tight.
Let's do it.
Might sound crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that can go to space. With the air like I don't care, baby, by the way. If you feel like happiness is the truth, yeah. Happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. Oh yeah. Here come bad news, talking this and that. You got and don't hold back. Yeah. Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. No offense to you, don't waste your time.
In Poughkeepsie.
This Halloween, find Monster Game pieces in Pepsi products and Doritos brand tortilla chips. The right match can win you thousands of prizes, up to $1 million. Look for specially marked packages. It could change your life for good.
You never take out the garbage.
Play Pepsi Doritos Monster Match for Monster Money.
While you are preparing your solution, you have no objections if I play a tune on your bagpipes?
This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Emmett.
Well, that was pretty pedestrian and normal. He didn't say anything mm-hmm. weird.
No, just kind of straightforward. This is what you're hearing, and jeez. This is who it is.
I need jeez. To play something weird just to remind me we're here. Hold on.
Chicken shit money.
There we go. Okay. Ah.
Sheesh.
I was scared for a second. Hold me, Brian. Hold me. All right, we're going to call someone you're familiar with.
Okay.
His name is Bill Duran.
Oh, that guy. Sure, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
The future roommate.
Yep. That's right.
Future roomie of 1 April. Let's see if we can get him in here. I think I've got a theme somewhere for him, don't I? Let's see. I think I haven't done that one in a while. Let's do that one. Let's see. Right here. Here you go. That's Bill Duran, everybody.
Hooray.
Hello, Bill Duran. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey. You know, just sipping a coffee, having a good morning.
Oh, your microphone's so much better this week. I don't know if you last week it was like, whoa.
I've got this this brand new amazing computer in front of me that probably won't blue screen in the middle of a podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Nicely done. What'd you end up with? You get a sweet deal? What'd you get?
I got an iMac.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it. I have an iMac as well.
Yeah. It's my lifelong quest to be more like Scott Johnson.
Well, isn't it everyone's though? I mean, really. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you on, man. And you are the final destination for April. She's coming that way. That's where she'll end her trek.
It might be out of Colorado.
Yeah, someday, right?
Yeah.
She's loving it here. I don't know. I think you Seattleians have a fight on your hands.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
Hey, guess how dumb I am. I didn't know Seattle was named after an Indian chief. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Chief,
I know that
Chief
now.
Seattle was his name. Let's see if I can find it. Chief. Oh, come on, Scott. Chief.
Well, that's what we do. We take people's land and then we say, it's cool. We'll name roads after you guys.
Here he is. Chief Seattle was the Deketchagagao chief. I'm pretty sure that's totally right that I just said. Yep. Also known as Sealf. It says, a prominent figure among his people, he issued a path of accommodation for white settlers, forming a personal relationship with David Swinson, Doc Maynard, blah, blah, blah. He was born in Blake Island, Washington, and died in Port Madison, Washington. And, well, that's we now have towns for that, but at the time it was their land.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I learned that yesterday, so it's nice to know that I'm not the only one who didn't know that. In Utah, I mean, the whole thing is named after the Ute Indians. Mm-hmm. People wonder where that name came from. There you go. Lots of Indian all up in here. How mm-hmm. nice of us to shove them off into camps everywhere. How nice of us to do that. I almost called you Daryl. Bill, let's get into it, man. It's fitness geek time. It's time for you to talk about the fitness world and how it affects the geeks that we are. So lay it on me. What do you got this week?
Oh, yeah. So what's kind of neat about the internet is how when people have a sort of a niche, cool, geeky thing that that they're into, they can reach out and find all the people that are also into that and then form communities around that. Like you've got the Frog Pants Network people.
Sure.
But there's lots and lots of people online who are forming these sort of nerdy, geeky fitness communities where people who are kind of geeky of the nerd persuasion, people like you and me and everyone we know, basically,
right?
Sort of banding together. Now we've got the Lose It group on Facebook. That's just Frog Pants Sector. That's really, really cool. And the great thing about that is you have people in there who are sort of spearheading it, but lots of other people who are sharing their personal stories, energizing one another, sharing their experiences and their techniques and everything.
Co-motivating. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and a lot of these things are popping up. I've found just because I do this segment, I have people who send me this stuff like, hey, I have a group going on. Why don't you join? And I'm a member of like 15 different groups online and I can't follow any of them because there's a ton of them. But for example, there's one that someone started for BlizzCon 2014, just a sort of nerdy fitness group for people, especially people who are going to dress up in costume to sort of use that as a an event, as a goal to hit one of their fitness goals, which is really cool. So people have been sharing their thing. Let me see here. BlizzCon workout group.
Oh, that's cool. That's a thing we're all going to in a few weeks.
That's right. And their picture, I like their picture. It's like this big orc who's all jacked and looking. It's like a cartoon orc.
Nice.
He's like, "Rrr." Nice. Looks like he does a lot of push-ups.
Sure. As orcs do, that's their main thing, isn't it? An orc, like if you had to imagine what an orc does to work out, push-ups have got to be a big part of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And then just they just go find the fluffiest, cutest animal and they just rip their heads off.
Yep. Kill animals and then they hold a, I don't know, like a thing over their head.
Yeah. It's like it's a resistance workout, really.
For sure.
Because, you know, spines have a lot of resistance.
Yeah. I picture a Garage Hellscream laying on his back and then doing basically chest lifts with that big giant ball he keeps throwing at everything. You know, that big rolling thing? That deal. I forget what that's called.
I hear these guys are organizing a really slow walk for that first day as they get their tickets. They're all going to get in a long line and do a
back and forth,
really slow BlizzCon workout walk.
Great. Yeah. Great.
It's what they should do is after each, every time you double back on yourself, drop and do 10 push-ups.
There you go. Oh, God.
Yeah. So if you look around, especially if you have something even more specific than just the general geek community, you can find a group that's for you, especially if you're going to BlizzCon, apparently.
Mm-hmm. They also have, like, you know, to be fair, they have like sex parties and stuff too at these events. Like, you like I've heard this. I don't know. I have not been to one.
Where did this come from? This is the first time I've heard about it.
I've heard of these happening at PAX. They happen at BlizzCon. They happen at other cons. Basically, there's like these anonymous groups who set up like Craigslist listings or something for organizing a big orgy, basically.
And Scott Johnson just turned 70.
Yep, I did.
I hear these conventions have these wild sex parties.
It's true, though.
I looked up the BlizzCon 2014 sex group, and it didn't come up with anything.
No. No. I'm trying to remember. Let's see. PAX. There was a PAX one specifically.
Seems like the first rule of sex club is you do not talk about sex club.
Or you tell Scott.
I guess you can talk about it if you weren't invited to it.
I was going to say, I figure out there's probably only one way that Scott knows about this.
Ninja. Yeah. Here it is. Ninja. Is this the one? Crap. Ninja Sex Party Live. Go get that place sold out. I can't find it. There's an article someplace. Yeah, I'm not just sitting around going, you know, I bet those kids, they wear those pony outfits and they do it. It's not like I'm thinking that. It was some actual thing. But anyway, it was somewhat controversial.
It just seemed to come out of nowhere. We're talking about BlizzCon and fitness. You know, they have sex parties at these conventions, too.
Well, that's a good workout. I mean,
sure,
that's
why true. Not?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. You sweat a little, whatever. Burn some calories.
It's the Iron Key Party. It's going to be happening over at BlizzCon.
Anyway, sorry. Yes. Yeah, so fitness.
So
yes.
in my travels on the safer side of the internet, I found a website called nerdfitness.com that seems to be pretty good. And I know that I've on this segment, I've read a couple of their articles before, and it looks like they're really neat. And it seems like it's all about building this community. They have an event they recently did called Camp Nerd Fitness.
Mm.
That was, I think it was in Pennsylvania. I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
All
sure.
Right, all right. Vampire and
if you were a local, you could show up to that thing. Basically, it's like Nerdtacular, but for geeky fitness enthusiasts, which to me, like, I'd go to that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds all right.
They have pictures and stuff, and it looks like everyone's having a good time.
Would you feel board games on treadmills and stuff like that?
would you worry, though, that if you went to that, you'd be like behind whoever, you know, like I feel like I wasn't up to the snuff of other attendees. Like I wouldn't be as good as they were.
But if you were, then what's the point of going, right?
I guess.
Right.
I guess. Would you only go if you looked better than everybody else?
Right.
That's true, I suppose. I guess what I'm saying is, what is the gateway for those that are maybe been struggling for a long time with fitness and health, and now they want to get going? And is that a place for them to go, or do you already sort of need to be into it? Because I can tell you, like, there's this local group of what's the hot thing now? I forgot the name already.
Sex parties?
No.
League of Legends.
No, that's the workout thing that's all the rage.
P90X?
What'd you call it?
CrossFit.
CrossFit.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm watching these. So there's this local group that goes to this gym near me. And I know about them because I'll go out and jog in the morning around the park or around the lake. And they'll be near this park where they're all running across the grass in their workout clothes with a giant, like 100-pound weight wheel, like you normally put on a bar, over their heads. And here's what I hear as I jog by. Here's what I hear. The whole time they just scream and run with these things over their heads. So it's an intimidating group is what I'm getting at. Like, that's right. The kind of thing where you're like, oh, you really got to be into this. Because then you'll see them just strutting around like the Cox Walk afterwards and just smacking each other's butt. I mean, it's very, you know what I mean? it's very intense.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you would hope that inside of the geek community, especially since the stereotype is that geeks and nerds tend to be less fit, mm-hmm. that when newcomers come to the group, they would welcome them with open arms.
Right.
I mean, from the photos I see from this event, it looks like there are people from all different levels of fitness. Especially, I mean, the way I would look at it is, if someone new comes to the group, it's obvious they've led sort of a sedentary lifestyle. I'm like, you're level one. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. Welcome mm-hmm. to the party. I'm level, 45. But if you want to run the stockades, I will happily go back and run the stockades with you. Yes, I played Alliance.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jeez. I don't get that reference.
Yeah.
I actually used to do CrossFit, and they're actually very welcoming to new people. So.
Yeah, a lot of times too, though, it depends on the specific group too, because we all know that there can be elements of the geeky community that are less welcoming. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the sort of mission statement of the group and the general attitude towards it. And this looks really neat. I would totally go to Camp Nerd Fitness.
All right, you should go and then report on that sometime for us.
I think it's in Pennsylvania. So if I'm in that neck of the woods,
if you happen to be there,
convention nearby that you can attend, and then do that on the side.
Careful though,
yeah,
they're all vampires down there. This
weights
may be a
against
trick.
Humanity or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
weights against humanity.
So this nerdfitness.com seems like a pretty nice place to go check out. They have regular articles and stuff about what's going on in the world of fitness. They've got, like I said, those community events, and they have resources for, especially for newcomers. And let's see, like one of the articles that's pinned up at the top here is the beginner body weight workout. Oh, I'm a beginner and I don't have any weights. That's a great place to start.
It does seem all right. Well, good. Well, you know, the uptick in fitness interest in this country is good regardless of where it's coming from or how it's manifesting.
And
the fact that nerds now have kind of places to go is all the better. Bill Duran, yeah. Any other cool things going on for you right now that we should mention before you go?
Punishprops.com. That's where all my crap lands. And I've been writing articles and stuff too. So I just wrote an article about using silicone and making molds. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Riveting.
Yeah.
Worth a read.
Yeah.
And I still have my what am I calling those things? The Foamsmith books that I wrote. Hmm. People have been clamoring for those. Book 3 is coming out here in another month or two. And if you are looking to get into making costumes, especially if you want to make something for Halloween, then the $10 for both of those books is totally worth it to get you off the ground. So go check that out, too.
That sounds all right to me. It's Chinbeard on Twitter, everybody. Bill, take it easy, dude. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya. And of course, Irony Man was able to find the Comic-Con is full of kinky sex, just check Craigslist article.
Oh, yeah, because there is stuff. I'm telling you, I wasn't making that up. There really is like and whatever, more power to them. They're organizing, great. Well, I don't care. It's not like a judgment call. It's just a thing you can do if you really want to. I don't know if Nerdtacular will ever have that, or maybe it does and I'm not aware of it.
Maybe it does, and yeah, exactly.
No one's telling me.
The article has a sample Craigslist ad that says, just got back home from a late night at Comic-Con after parties and wanted to see if anyone was up who wanted to get together for some sex while I'm still in costume.
Wow. That's awesome.
How'd you find my ad?
What was the costume? Did he say what costume?
I don't know. I wish it would say. I'm hoping it's a minion from Despicable Me.
You know, me too, now that you say that. All right, let's call Justin, because that's our next thing to do. And that's just what we do. It's a Tuesday. We call Justin.
I do the same thing all the time.
Here we go. What'd she do? She drop her...
She dropped something on the desk and was like, oh, yeah.
Don't rat me out.
Ratting you out on the air, man. All right, let's get Justin in here. Let's get that call going. Come on, Justin, answer that thing. He didn't say whether he's in town or not, so I don't know what's his deal.
We'll find out as soon as we see his
thing. As soon as we see his unit.
Yeah.
His unit. Well, that's ringing interminably. Hmm. Yeah, it didn't go through. Let's see what's up there.
Uh-oh. He knows it's Tuesday, right? He's fully aware.
Well, he's got a phone, and up in the right-hand corner, at least on mine, it says what the date is. So I can only assume that he's in the same boat.
Wow.
Hey, my wife thinks that she wants to learn how to vape, she told me.
What?
Yeah, she says this. She goes, I don't know what it is about that whole vapory thing, but I totally want to do that, she said.
Wait, the vape pens?
Yeah, and like the smoking that ain't smoking, that whole thing.
Yeah, it's actually really fun. My friend has one, and you can put in like cotton candy flavor or peppermint, and it's really fun, and it's actually fun to have like the smoke come out of your face and make funny vines. But I didn't put that up because I was like, someone's not going to think this is vapor.
Yeah, someone will think you're potting it in the back of somebody's garage or whatever. But anyway.
Tell you what, I've got an extra laser pointer. I'll just send her that and she can stick that in her mouth, light it up, and it'll look just like she's vaping.
They do look like laser pointers. That's
funny.
They
do, yeah.
Or like a freaking Doctor Who thing.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Speaking of Doctor Who things, it's Justin Robert Young on the line. Hello.
Hi, friends.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, man.
That looks like a hotel room.
Yeah. Oh, you are in a hotel.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Whoa. Our nation's capital. Tell me if you've seen any famous senators or any goings on there.
Any scandals?
No, there wasn't.
You any sex parties?
I'm actually not in D.C. I'm in Chantilly, Virginia, which is right by Dulles Airport. But it's this very nice hotel. And we had another Go Game person was coming to help me. And she's a lady. And they at the hotel room desk, she's like, oh, I need to go up to this room. Do you know where it is? And they're like, excuse me, are you a spouse of the person you were going to see?
Oh, no, dude. I know where this is going.
Like, and she's like, no, no, I'm not. And they're like, oh, okay. We have a very strict no spouse policy.
What?
Well, what does that mean? Is that
a
very strict no spouse?
School?
What the heck?
Well, like, so initially my mind just went to like, this is where all the senators come to get their groove on, you know.
It's like Spitzer Motel.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I mean, listen, you're a senator, right? You're not going to, you know, the Motel 6 or the Red Roof Inn, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come down to the Chantilly Marriott.
They really said that? A strict no spouse policy?
Apparently, it wasn't the hotel's policy. It's we're here for this conference, and the conference, I guess.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense to me.
Conference?
Yeah, sex party conference. No, I'm guessing that they probably have a lot of issues with prostitution during these conferences, is my guess. And so
this isn't like a big open conference. This is like a company conference. This is like a 30, you know, or I guess probably like 120, 200 people, you know, from one company.
Yeah.
But you never know. I can ask. I'll ask the client, you know, listen, you got a lot of hookers running around here?
I think that's funny.
I'm asking for a friend.
Give me the 411 on this place.
Asking for a friend. Right, they'll say. It's just very curious to me that they would freak out. Not freak out, but that would be a problem. I can't think of a time where I've ever been asked that or anyone's ever asked me that. I've had to go up to somebody's room that wasn't my gender and meet them and stuff for work things or whatever. I never once had to say, yeah, I'm her husband or that person had to say they were my wife or something. And even if...
Well, no, but that, it was the opposite. If she would have said she was my wife, they would have said like, well, absolutely not.
Please
leave the premises.
Oh, I get it now. So they can't be... Oh, that's really weird. I don't understand that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah, it wasn't spouses only. It was get up out of here. You're married to that person.
That's super weird. But you're super weird, and I like that about you. Don't go changing. So what's going on, man? What's in the life of Justin this week that makes sense to talk about for us?
So, speaking of hookers.
Yeah.
there's this thing on the show I'm doing on Sundays, on the jury show.
Yeah.
That has gotten, like, really personal. Like, the show itself has become... This like, and I don't know whether it's just like, it's like a one mic show. So people who listen, like, it's like we're just having a one-sided one-to-one conversation or something. But I feel like it's become this very safe space for people to just admit or talk about a lot of fairly embarrassing things.
Mm.
exactly. Jury confessional.
Yeah, jury confessionals.
It's very confessional. And I very much enjoy it. And I'm very excited that it has gotten this reputation and people have been appreciative of it. But I wanted to bring something that came up on that show up here to get your guys' opinion.
All right.
Had a kid write in his early 20s. Yeah. I think he's like 21 or 22.
Yeah.
Lived most of his life. Adult, like, you know, past puberty, I guess, up in the plus 400 pounds range.
Okay.
Big kid, right?
Big guy, yep.
Recently lost a ton of weight and is now, like, lost 80 pounds or something. So he is still a 300-pounder, right? But huge momentum. Mm-hmm. He is now wondering whether or not, and wanted my opinion, and therefore the opinion on the podcast, on whether or not it was okay or he was wrong for wanting to then continue that momentum by rewarding himself by losing his virginity to a hooker.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay. That, you know, hey, personal question right there, I'll say.
Yeah.
It kind of qualifies. Yes. Woo.
Wow.
So he wanted to know just in general, and also, you know, he was very, you know, upfront that he was feeling, you know, kind of, I guess his younger brother, who was like 3 years younger than him, wound up like had lost his virginity like 6 months ago. And also he moved to a new town. So he's like, doesn't have a whole lot of people to hang out with and everything. So he's feeling very lonely. He's very vulnerable and alone. And instead decided to ask me, which shows very flawed character judgment, probably more so than even the harshest reaction to whether or not he should get a hooker to lose his virginity.
Right.
But I ask you guys, Brian Ibbett and Scott Johnson, I'm just going to drop that one in your lap. What are your first reactions to, should I lose my virginity to a hooker?
Well, having so much experience with massive weight loss and hookers, it's been my experience.
Yeah, it's been your very studied experience.
So, there's a couple different things here. I mean, there's the prostitution thing, and then there's the kind of wanting to reward yourself for something that you've done, and
well, and also for this exercise, let's mm-hmm. assume okay. that he is naturally going to be on a trip to, you know,
Las Vegas,
or Nevada. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. To the
legal.
Bunny Ranch or something like that. Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
I'd say it's okay as long as he only hires an overweight hooker. No, I'm kidding. No, I
literally just, Brian, you short-circuited my brain. Because I didn't know whether that was offensive or funny.
Yeah.
And I just, it was like two dogs on one leash going the opposite
just
direction.
Pulling in opposite
and I just,
direction.
I was flatlined. I had no idea.
I feel proud if I could do that to Jerry.
It was hard to tell. I'm with you there. Yeah, keep going.
He needs to continue the momentum, right? So if it's something, here's what worries me is that the getting, losing his virginity has been a goal, obviously. Obviously, if this is kind of the first thing he thinks of as a way to reward himself, then this is kind of a goal of his. And what worries me is that he's going to hire a prostitute, lose his virginity, and then kind of the goal of losing all this weight is gone because, well, why, you know, other than the health benefits, why do I need to lose this weight if I don't need to attract women and I can just kind of reward myself with a prostitute every once in a while?
Interesting
well,
point.
But his point of view was more that if he was no longer worrying about being a virgin, then his self-confidence would be in a different place.
I see.
So now when he met a woman,
he'd be able to talk to her much more easily.
Well, yeah. If he met somebody else, it's like, you know, we all, when you're dating, obviously, you know, you fast forward a lot, right? Like mm-hmm. you meet somebody and then you're kind of, you can't help but be like, oh, I don't know. Like, let's try to skip ahead 2 weeks and let's try to skip ahead 2 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And if it's like for him, if he's always dreading, oh, great, this first date went well. Like now I'm one step closer to admitting to her that I'm a virgin,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like, then that's a huge roadblock.
If right. So here's my take. If he sees this potential experience as a reward for something, I think he's going to be disappointed because there is no, this is a fake experience. It's a real experience, but it's a fake one ultimately. Like emotionally, it's hollow because what you're ending up with is if you're just looking for, all right, I need just sex to not be a virgin anymore. Well, I guess you'll get that from this, but you're not going to get like a bunch of emotional satisfaction from it.
Right. It's going to be harder on the self-esteem to have this kind of experience be the first thing, the first time.
Yeah. I know a guy, I'm not going to say names obviously, but it's somebody who's in kind of a mess right now because he, because he is, was heavily involved in prostitution.
Irony Man.
Heavily involved in prostitution, as a patron of the sport. And, sure. He
Chinbeard's doing better though.
No, he's making great strides. There's no question.
It's quite a turnaround he's made.
Yeah, his cosplay has less, you know, rip away crotches and things like that, which is nice. but no, I just don't think there's like, I guess my perspective on all things in life are what does the thing you're going to do take you any closer to being happy in a long term kind of way? And I don't know how this does that for him because I feel like this just is like a, I don't know. It's a little weird that it's his reward. Now I'm not judging him.
Don't fixate on the reward thing necessarily because I don't think that was what he wrote. I am suspicious of it being, you know, the number one thing. I think the bigger thing is that he just kind of feels like this is an albatross across it, you know, and that he is hindering his own growth by having it not, you know, but by having it continue to be a thing into his early 20s. So the first thing I told him was, you know, hey, no, early 20s. Oh, come on, Jesus. You are like a stone's throw away from being 8 years old.
Yeah, you're so young. You don't know it. You think you're getting old. Like somehow some clock is ticking. It's not, though.
It's not. Number one, don't worry about it. Number two, I was, you know, if it's what he wants to do, then I don't necessarily have a problem with it. And I don't think that it's necessarily an emotion. Like, if you are looking at it as, here's my girlfriend, and then I pay my girlfriend at the end of it, then yes, it is going to be a disappointing and emotionally hollow experience.
All right.
But if you kind of look at it like, I don't know, a personal trainer, you know?
I guess you can. Exactly. I guess you can.
Then,
sure.
I mean, it's all. I guess it's all about how you are framing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This sets up a weird, and maybe this is what you're going to say, but I want to at least get this out. It sets up a larger, weirder issue of thinking or having it set in your head that you're never going to have a good girlfriend relationship or a good, perhaps, marriage relationship at any point if you don't hurry up and lose that virginity because you're going to be the worst possible prospect because of it. That's a weird thing to think about yourself.
It is. No. It is, and it's self-destructive.
Right.
I think it is the definition of self-destructive because what you are looking at it, you know, you are the entire circular logic is completed, right?
Yeah.
I'm a virgin, so therefore I can't get a woman because I'm a virgin, which means I can never lose my virginity.
Which means right? I can't get a woman, which means, yeah. You just keep circling around that wagon.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
And so now you're just driving yourself crazy.
By the way, full disclosure real quick.
Oh,
I was a virgin on my wedding day. I just want to throw that out there. Okay,
so anybody listening to TMS who doesn't know that,
sure, but I'm coming. I just want people to understand I am coming from that perspective. So if that skews my opinion, that might be why. Anyway, full disclosure. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm not married and I'm not a virgin. Right. Just full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Right. Right.
the biggest thing that I kind of said was that. Here is the way that kind of that whole experience played out for me, which, by the way, if you listen to, I think the episode's called Strangers Watched Me Lose My Virginity, which is the episode of the show. I tell the story of how I lost my virginity, and the title certainly plays into it.
Wow.
So,
where have I been, and where is this episode? I got to find this.
It's a very funny story.
All right.
But what I realized was you were really just trading out one problem for another, right? Like, it's like, oh, great, that's awesome. I lost my virginity. Oh, you want to know what's less awesome? I've just realized I'm terrible at sex. like now I just have this whole new, like, you know, I've leveled up to a new level and realized that there's a whole new class of ne'er-do-wells and villains that I am in no way equipped to take care of. And now I need to level up and, you know, prepare myself to deal with all these new challenges. So,
well, see, but that's, I mean, the professionals are there to kind of make that better. I mean, it's not like he's fumbling in the back seat of a Chrysler with another virgin and they're, you know, realizing how bad they are at it. It's like when you go to, let's bring up the personal trainer again.
Yeah.
When you're overweight and you go to a personal trainer the very first time, they're going to like, all right, well here, let's start you off on these weights. All right, let's help you out. Let's kind of work you up. Let's maybe not jump right into the massive barbells and the acrobatics.
I feel like I've swayed Brian on one analogy. Yeah. I feel like it was just the personal trainer analogy. Now Brian's totally in.
He's really run with it because I didn't realize that they were that concerned about all that. Like there's,
they want repeat business.
Well, true, but I feel like the clinicalness of what you've described is not like the stereotypes I've seen in movies and television.
It's exactly the stereotypes I've seen in movies and television. The hooker with a heart of gold, and it's like, oh, it's my first time. I mean, is Porky's? Anyone ever see Porky's?
I just don't think these people exist in that way. I think that's a construct.
If Showtime,
all right, if you
reality
are a
series
hooker,
is anything to be believed.
Yeah, if you're a hooker out there.
If you are a hooker and you listen to the morning stream, right, and statistically, there's likely at least one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we've got, yeah, I mean, every time I say, hey, is there a dentist out there? I get 500 dentists email me.
All walks of life. Go ahead. No judgment.
I'm not trying to say the population of dentists is equal to or greater than hookers. Hooker,
yeah. I know we have a listener who works in Australia as a driver, a chauffeur for prostitutes that get delivered to hotels.
Really?
Like, yeah, when you order a hooker.
That guy's got stories.
He gets it to you 30 minutes or less, or it's free.
This is a hooker.
I would be fascinated to hear from somebody because I really don't have any. I mean, I don't have any perspective on it other than because I've never had to deal with it. But I don't know what that's really like. But besides all of that, it's still this idea. This is where I'm struggling with it. This idea that you have to conform to somebody else's idea of where you should be at 22 is weird.
Absolutely.
To me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. And that's ultimately where I came down on is just this is not about virginity, and it's not about weight loss, and it's not about anything other than self-confidence. And it's about him understanding that he can live his life on his own terms and that he's not on any kind of artificial clock to do anything at any time.
Right.
You know, beyond like, you know, make rent, you know, we kind of put those constructs in there for a reason.
Sure.
But, with something like this, you know, I would say my point was focus more on the weight loss and focus more on making sure that he feels happy and healthy and that a lot of these problems will kind of solve themselves. Because if he's in a better spot self-confidence-wise, then I think he's going to be less likely to just be a dog chasing his own tail on, you know, oh, I can't talk to women because eventually they're going to find out that I'm a virgin, you know?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I this is me. Maybe this is a cynicism, but I just don't see, like, if I had a conversation with this guy 5 years from now, I just can't see him going, the greatest decision of my life was that hooker that day. I just can't see it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
well, you want to know what? So I had another person email in the next week who said that he had lost his virginity to a hooker.
Okay.
And the first couple, like the entire experience and the aftermath was very pleasant. And he felt far more self-confident afterward. And he wound up, like, he had never had a girlfriend, wound up getting a girlfriend shortly after that. And he credits the kind of momentum of self-confidence that he had in the immediate aftermath to that one experience.
Yeah.
However, you know, and it just comes back to, you can't run from these problems. You know,
right.
Like when the problem's in your own head, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what hat you wear, doesn't matter where you move, it's your head still goes with you.
Yeah,
and if you You can fool your head sometimes, but you can never really trick it. And that's the what happened to this other guy, the second guy, was that eventually kind of the loneliness sort of crept back in. And, you know, he treated the symptom and not the root cause.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at. So your experience, your mileage will vary in terms of your immediate aftermath or whatever. And, right. You know, sure. assuming this guy's being truthful about it, then we'll assume that he is.
He apparently had the second guy had a really good personal trainer. like, she was, very much,
the Bowflex.
very much to Brian's point, nurturing. Very nice, you know, and then he apparently tried to replicate it and found out the hard way that the photos on websites that connect models with people who would like to hire models to hotel rooms are oftentimes incorrect. Or Photoshop.
The not Big Mac up on the menu board does not always look like the thing that comes in the little cardboard box.
You know what? Nick told me we were at I can't remember what restaurant we were at. I think it was a Taco Bell or a McDonald's maybe. And he said to me, "You know what, Dad? I mean, this is 14-year-old wisdom, I guess." But he goes, "McDonald's food looks just like those pictures up on the billboard or a menu thing, except as if someone sat on it as soon as they cooked it." So I thought that was pretty wise, you know? Like, yeah, at some point it could have looked like that, but like someone sat on it, and now it looks like what it looks like, and he seemed to be okay with that knowledge.
I always used to wonder whether or not there was, like, a McDonald's. Like, maybe, like, I was just too far in the... in the rings of Saturn there, that I was just not going to the good McDonald's. That there was one McDonald's. Maybe it was in like Times Square.
The one right across the street from the McDonald's home office where they make the food that looks just like the
movie. Everything looked exactly like it did on the poster and in the commercials. Like they had these gorgeous burgers.
Yeah. Well, who knew? I mean, as a kid, that's why I like listening to him say stupid stuff like this. Because he's still kind of shaking off all of the childhood innocence. And occasionally we'll have a little piece of wisdom to share like that. But it's true. Instead of me complaining, man, this stuff never looks like they do on the menu. I think it'd be better if I just said, yeah, it's like someone sat on it. And then it's still fine. Still, I'm still going to eat it.
You didn't like the menus or the Wendy's menu item that looked like somebody stepped on it. It looked just like the menu picture, but somebody had a footprint in it.
Oh, that's right, because they had a shoe print. Yeah, well, that's different.
A butt print in your Whopper Jr. or your Big Mac is okay.
Wendy's single. Well, see, that was like a verifiable. Like we could have done forensic evidence on that and found out who did it. This is more like a general understanding that these are all sat upon before you get them. Anyway, well, that's all very fascinating. I feel like that's a cool. To get back to your original point, it's a cool thing when something organic flows out of a project you're doing that you didn't really plan on, but it just kind of worked out that way. That happens on this show all the time. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like totally. That.
Well, really, I mean, that's the cool thing about it, because I kind of feel like the jury show probably has more to do with this segment than it does Night Attack.
Yeah.
Just because of the kind of that confessional and sort of like, you know, on the jury show, it's like Night Attack is a comedy show, and it's like, you know. Like we're always kind of just looking for the next time that we can make each other laugh. And
you're just missing the names Bob and Tom and a bunch of sound clips. I mean, that's really all you're missing. If your name was Bob and Tom, that's that kind of show. It's a very different kind of show. I would say,
which is so funny, right? Yeah. Because that comparison is like so regional. You know, I just feel like there's which by the way, just for anybody, if you don't know who Bob and Tom is, Bob and Tom are like the to say that they are the Howard Stern of the Midwest would only be to insinuate that they are massively popular. They're a little bit more family friendly, obviously, than a Howard Stern or kind of the shock jock ilk.
Sure.
But to give you an idea of who Bob and Tom are, I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Lovely photos, by the way, that you were sending. Woof. Rough.
Dude. Mm. I went, they just kept hitting me in the face. Go check my Instagram. I had a series of three photos that were just like the most depressing grayscale black and white pictures of Cedar Rapids ever. But they were like, it kept hitting me in the face. But anyway, there was a huge billboard, or not huge, like a marquee for like a theater downtown that let everybody know that in 5 days, the Bob and Tom comedy tour would be coming through town. And I feel like that's exact. That's all you need to know is Bob and Tom's the radio show that does comedy tour stops in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you know, it's so there. It's probably not a good comparison, but I guess what I'm saying is you guys are doing hilarious things on that show.
No, exactly. But this I don't mean to say that about Bob and Tom to disparage them or their show, because sure. I mean, like, you are obviously tonally a little bit different, but because okay. I would say you guys are Bob and Tom far more than we are.
It's a good point. Like it's
it's so funny that people always name the morning show like around them, because we've mm-hmm. heard it like, oh, it's like Howard Stern for the internet or
Lewis and Floorwax here in Colorado.
Exactly. Wait, for real?
For real, we have a Lewis and Floorwax. Because it's always going to be some normal guy named,
yes.
And then it's the Larry and Paper Bag Show.
That's on Night Attack. The joke has always been the Kook and the Racist Badger Show.
Guess who the racist badger is?
5.9 The cat.
Yeah,
and Frosty.
There is kind of a genetic connection. I feel like anyway when I listen to you do the Jerry Show, that feels like it's pretty well connected to what we do here, at least for your segment here. Yeah,
I think it's certainly it wound up becoming born out of that, and I think a lot of some of that morning stream sort of kind of share magic has sort of rubbed off on it, and that's why I'm getting these emails. But it's like it has been so delightful. It has been really really amazing that people want to kind of share that element of their life, because at the same time, like, there's nothing I love talking about more than like extraordinarily personal things about other people.
Sure.
Like that's like my favorite thing in the world to talk about.
Yeah. You should be a therapist. Dr. Jerry is in the house. And you should help people.
But then you have to actually make money and do it in private.
Oh, like, right, right.
I'd much rather just air it publicly.
Right. Always. Yeah. It's been interesting with the therapy show with Wendy trying to figure out what that line is, right? Because some of these things are just intensely personal from people. Mm-hmm. And whether or not some of the stuff gets shared, even if you don't use names, oftentimes can be enough to cue other people who might hear it in onto whatever. I mean, Wendy herself got in a little bit of trouble because we did an episode where she mentioned radiologists being overpaid for what they do. It's just kind of a side joke.
Didn't a fleet of radiologists come in and like get right about
it? They were all mad about it, but primarily it was a friend of hers who she'd grown up with forever, very close friend, who is a radiologist and was just super pissed that she brought that up. So even things like that sometimes get taken in weird ways. And in the more sort of sensitive environment that, hey, this is a show where we're giving advice and therapy to people who need it, that's been a very interesting thing. I doubt you'll run into that on the Jury Show, nor do we really run into it much
on
here. Oh,
no. Believe you me, Scott, if there's any lesson I have learned over the past 2 weeks are that the things that you get drunk and say on the Night Attack after show can have long-lasting repercussions.
That's right. I forgot about that, sort of. Wow. I missed it at the time. But, aftermath. We don't have to talk about it here, but whew. That was some stuff there went down.
You know, we should talk about promises made and things like I don't know, wagers lost and
I bet he doesn't even know what we're talking about. Let's remind him, shall we? So back when we did the last movie draft,
draft. This internet. Oh jeez.
I know. Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
You and your buddy over there, you and Schwitty, had promised that we had promised too that whoever beat the other team in whatever position on the movie draft, the losing team would come on the other person's show and sing the first lines or the first, I guess, verse. Verse and chorus of Endless Love.
All right. Listen, we'll schedule it. We'll get a Tuesday together and Brian will get his. I mean, the problem was also that Brian was kind of wall to wall in California, but now he's back in Texas.
Things have settled a bit. He can totally do it.
We're ready to go.
I saw him eating matches at a bar the other day. I know he's got a little time. We can do this.
Hey, bet you $5. I can eat this whole matchbook.
That's right. That's right.
Brian impression is shockingly similar to your Eric Paul impression. Oh my.
Listen, bitch, I bet you I can eat this whole matchbook.
Welcome to scam school, bitch.
I would watch more of that. if that was the case. Yeah. Well, all right. It's always a fun time, dude. A jury show is something you've mentioned. You want to say any more about when it is and where people can find it before we let you go?
So, jury show, you can watch the video version live. The video version live on Sunday nights at DiamondClub.tv. You can check out the video podcast, quote unquote, version at the YouTube. So youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung. You can find the audio version anywhere you find audio podcast and or jurytalks.com. But the one thing that I really want to plug is you ever heard of this guy, Tom Merritt?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm familiar. Vaguely.
He used to do a show with you on the Twit Network that's no longer available.
Yeah, a couple of them.
So he now hosts a show called Daily Tech News Show. Yeah. And he is expanding, and he's bringing on these guests, and well, not really guests, but the contributors. And I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
That is.
Oh, nice.
If we can get up to 13,000 on his Patreon. It's currently at, like, I think 12,300.
Yeah.
So as soon as it gets up to 1,300, I'm going to be on every week.
It's dangerously close to that goal. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm really, really excited about it. It's something that, in all seriousness, Daily Tech News Show is, like, so awesome. If you don't listen to it, you really, really should.
Yeah.
If you do, and you like this segment, and you like me talking, then you're really going to like me talking tech every week with Tom.
Yeah.
So go ahead and check that out.
Let's see. It's patreon.com/TomMerritt, right?
No, because he's Tom, and he's this Ace the Tech thing has really gone too
far. It really has, because you can't spell it. He knows it. Like, it's right. Yeah, I don't know why it has gone too far. We should intervene. It's annoying.
I mean, the thing is that when you talk to him about it, his reasoning is that, like, it's the natural barrier line of making sure that people really care about him. Mm-hmm. That if they need to know how to spell Ace Detect, and then they'll really care about him.
That's how he separates the wheat from the chaff. The Johnny Come Latelys from the real true fans.
That's right.
Which I feel like is a self-fulfilling prophecy, not less healthy than the guy who wants to get a hooker to lose.
Right.
Anyway, all right. So it's up to 12,329. Wow, this thing is going fast. So thank you guys. Thanks to everybody. I'm sure there's a huge overlap audience. So if anybody has already up their Patreon level, thank you so much.
Yep.
And if you haven't and you want to, then this is the time to do it, because the quicker you do it, the quicker I'm on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about being.
It's going to be cool. You're already good on there. It'll be great to have you as regular. Patrick was the first unlock. You're the next. And who knows who number three will be?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I do.
I do as well. Neither of us are allowed to say, but we know. All right. Justin, always fun. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Have
but
fun.
I can smell him.
From there. Wow. That's from you here. Got a hell of a nose. You have a good time with your Go game there today, and may a senator do something totally scandalous in front of you, and that you'll report for TMZ and break the story live, like Watergate, but your own version of it, whatever it is.
May you see bye, those April. Spouses wandering the hallways.
Oh, yeah, and bye, April.
Bye, Jerry. See you soon, actually.
I guess you're going to be out sort of his way, right? And he'll be up in Seattle for something else. Or something.
Well, no, she's going to be swinging by the jury home.
Oh, you're going through Oakland and then crawling back up that way.
Yeah, I'll probably be around, I think, around like the early 20s of October.
All right.
You know, the good years.
Yeah. 1920s. Yeah, I know. That's great. I'll see you probably tomorrow while you're swinging through Salt Lake. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll be getting in like later tonight, but my next stop is Vegas. And I'm going to go see Mizzoula, and he's not off work till 10:30.
Yeah.
So I don't need to leave until like 2. I could even leave at like 3 or 4 o'clock if I wanted to. It's like a 6-hour drive, right?
On Wednesday, yeah. It's like about 5. You can make it in 5.
Oh, yeah. I'll be around like all morning and early afternoon. So
yeah, the rule of Vegas from Salt Lake is if you have kids who have to pee a lot, it's 6 hours. If it's you and you don't have to pee much, you'll be there in 5.
I'll dehydrate myself.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Just take a bottle. You'll be all right.
I'll eat a lot.
I guess it's
And guess who else is going to be in Vegas later this week?
Oh, that's right. Are you gonna see all them and stuff?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Absolutely. That's too funny, dude.
It's gonna be crazy. We're gonna
follow everyone
around.
And it's
her first time in Vegas, so we gotta show her all the great Vegas stuff.
Well, good. Hash house a go-go for everyone, I would say.
Woohoo!
That's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you for all joining us. Tomorrow we'll be back. Tom Merritt, the one we spoke of earlier, that mystical Tom Merritt, he'll be here. So will Nicole with their recommendals. We'll be back with another show full of goodness and fun. And you can find us on the web, frogpants.com/TMS. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, find us at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. A reminder that later today there will be posted a new comic, Dorks. And there will also be, I think, no, there won't be that today. Never mind, I won't tell you what that is because it's not happening. But there was a new therapy show yesterday, and it's all about dealing with change. Might be a good episode for April. She's going through a lot of change.
A lot of change in your life.
Constant change.
Constant change. That's
just time zones.
Yeah. No. Lifestyles. It's exciting.
That's my penny. I can't think of the name of the band. I was going to say it's my cover. Constant change is the name, cover band name for my penny.
It's your Katie Lang cover band.
Fair enough. The other one had more direct money reference, but I can't think of it now. All right. Brian, why don't we play your music to get out of here with?
Before we do, yeah. I think we need to show April's artwork that she's been working on the camera here.
Show it up. Let's see it.
Let's see. In front of the blue one there.
I can't see.
But oh, it's lovely.
I've been experimenting with color lately, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's blue. I think it's a guy. It's blue. That's terrible.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So this one comes to us from Joe Hafner. Says, "Hey, Bartlett and Seaborn. It was 13 years ago today, October 13th, that my dad lost his lung battle against lung and brain cancer." We had a lot of requests yesterday, so I'm folding a couple over into today.
All right.
"While this is a sad day for my family, my dad wasn't one to complain about his health issues. Among the many things he taught and instilled into me was his taste in music. He was a fan of the pre-British rock invasion groups of the 50s and 60s, the American graffiti era, if you will. He was also a fan of country music, especially Waylon Jennings. I'm hoping that Brian Bartlett will kindly play Waylon Jennings' version of the Chuck Berry classic Nadine on the 13th or 14th, the day my dad was declared dead, and also happens to be my mom's birthday. Thanks in advance. Love TMS and all that Frog Pants brings to my ears. Joe Hafner from Kirksville, Missouri." Well, I did a lot of searching for this, and this is apparently a song that he only recorded and released on a 7-inch single, and the only way that I was going to be able to get a hold of it was to pick up an import version of the single. So I apologize. I've looked online. There's a very scratchy YouTube version available, and Joe, I hope you'll forgive me that I'm not going to be able to play the Waylon Jennings version of the song. However, the closest version that I could find is a rock country version by George Thorogood and the Destroyers that he released that is a little bit more widely available. And I'm hoping you don't mind me playing this one instead. This comes from a single of the same name that George Thorogood released in 1998. It is George Thorogood and the Destroyers with a cover of Chuck Berry's Nadine.
Sounds good. And by the way, thank you for Joe the very nice West Wing reference there. Bartlett and I forgot the other one, but I am going to make a point.
Seaborn,
that's it. Mm-hmm. Played by Rob Lowe, by the way. Anyway, I'm going to make a point that I wouldn't like to stick in people's brains.
Scott makes a point.
Yes. People who enjoy Scandal, that TV show, Scandal feels like sacrilege because if you've seen The West Wing, you realize how bad Scandal is. That's all I want to say about it. It's just kind of garbage television. If some of you are enjoying it, good on you. Enjoy what you like. But I hate it. All right. Here it is. It's Nadine. Let's play it now. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. And clear sailing, April. Have a safe trip.
Why, thank you, Scott.
All righty.
See you tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah. Woo!
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Yeah.
Jill.